Before we get started, I want to shout out our sponsors here on the BCP. As always, the BCP is brought to you by our favorite store, Funkenstein Wrestling Superstore, located online and at the Englishtown Flea Market in Englishtown, New Jersey, on Saturdays and Sundays from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the Blue Building. Get your wrestling stuff, retro video games, G.I. Joes, Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters. It's our favorite store. Thank you, Heather and Dan, for sponsoring the show. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Mania Club. Established in 2015, Mania Club is a WWE-recognized community for fans with an eclectic love for both the world of professional wrestling and raising money for Connor's cure. During WrestleMania weekend, we host the official tailgate of WrestleMania while also celebrating the life of Connor McCulloch. They're the single largest donor within the V Foundation for Connor's Cure with over $150,000 raised. Please donate and join the Facebook group over at Mania Club. Donate at jimmyv.org/maniaclub. The BCP is also sponsored by the No Gimmicks Podcast, the pro wrestling podcast that keeps it 100% real, 100% of the time. The No Gimmicks Podcast is available wherever you get your podcast. Shout out, Kelvin. Check out the No Gimmicks Podcast. Wrestling All Day, All Night is the best wrestling discussion group on Facebook. We provide more of a community feel here and have wrestling fans introduce other fans to something they may have not seen before, such as old school wrestling, indie wrestling, Japanese wrestling, and more. We also strive to be a source for information regarding upcoming wrestler meet and greets and signings. And remember, we're open 24/7, all day, all night. Be sure to follow on socials and join the group on Facebook at Wrestling All Day, All Night. The BCP is also sponsored by Warriors of Wrestling. Warriors of Wrestling proudly presents Intergender Warfare. It's going to be at St. Finbar Catholic Church, 1839 Bath Ave in Brooklyn, New York, Friday, November 10th, featuring Miranda Eleze, Taya Valkyrie, Zaya Brookside, Giselle Shaw, Darius Carter, Vicious Vicky, and a whole lot more. Get your tickets now at warriorsofwrestling.com, and don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. Please welcome in our new sponsors, the Sweet Chin Musings Podcast. Sweet Chin Musings is the creation of the reigning, rarely defending, highly disputed champion of wrestling podcast, Mr. Perfect Mike Mueller, and his tag team partner in crime, Luke Kudialis. SCM focuses on the in-ring products of WWE and AEW. No dirt sheet rumors here, as well as backstage news, predictions, and analysis of characters, storylines, and major pay-per-views. Old school fans, don't worry, we have you covered too with a look back on classic matches, top 10 lists, and interactive tournaments that let the fans decide who is truly the best of all time. You can find us on Facebook at Sweet Chin Musings, and be sure to check out the podcast on all your favorite podcast major streaming platforms. We also got to shout out our new sponsors, the United States Department of Nerds, the USDN Podcast, a podcast presented by Dat Feeling Podcast Network, LLC. The USDN Podcast is run by Jeffrey T. Fountain, a BCP Plus contributor, Jennifer Johnson, Eric Johnson, and Tay Stith, and is also home to the Queens of Nerdom Podcast. USDN Podcast is a safe place for all nerds where they can come to be entertained, learn, and embrace debate. USDN prides itself on being by the people, for the people, and of the people. Here at the USDN, we strive to bring you the best content we can find where you know it comes with the USDN seal of approval. We always strive to give you factual data, and if it's a rumor, we'll always preface it with the rumor alert before dropping the freshest info. However, once those rumors are proven true, you can bet your money we at USDN are slamming the stamp down and giving it the USDN seal of approval. Hit our links on social media for all our merch. This ad is USDN approved. The BCP is now sponsored by the international shiny star, Ray Kalitri. Kalitri has honed his craft traveling and wrestling all over the world, including destinations such as Mexico, Peru, Puerto Rico, and even Egypt. The ISPW Tri-State Champion and Golden Ticket Holder is also one of the longest reigning ECPW Light Heavyweight Champions in history. Kalitri also holds an international championship that he won in Mexico. Always known for his appreciation of world culture, the Shiny Star is also known for his taste for high fashion, lavish lifestyle, and fast cars. However, he is most prominently known around the globe for his unparalleled in-ring acumen and skill set. Be sure to follow Ray Kalitri across the board on social media, at Kalitri Ray on Twitter, at PAP1Fresh on Instagram, and Ray Kalitri on Facebook. Guys, please welcome in our new pod sponsor for the show, GPW Productions. GPW provides your promotion or event with top-tier video and audio production, live streaming, and more. I can personally vouch for them in saying they're hands down the best production company I've ever worked with, as they continue to work with the likes of AEW, GCW, StarCast, MLW, not to mention the majority of the local independent promotions here in the tri-state area. They can even help you film a vignette or promo for your persona or gimmick. And guess what? GPW doesn't just work in wrestling. They cover MMA, boxing, basketball, or any other sporting event as well. Guys, on a personal note, as always, I'd like to thank Mike Sesko, Frank Leone, O'Neill Andrews, and the team for giving me multiple opportunities to work with them and some of the best talent in the world. Book GPW for a promotion or event today at contact@gpwproductions.com. Thank you to our new November sponsor on the pod and the site, BCP Plus, the Rock and Wrestling Collector located in Stockholm, New Jersey, featuring all of your favorite rock and wrestling collectibles. This is owned by ISPW head honcho, Mr. Tommy Fierro. The Rock and Wrestling Collector makes its grand opening on Black Friday. Don't miss it, and be sure to follow at the WC Store and at 80s Wrestling on socials. Let's rock. Please welcome in our new pod sponsor for the month of November, Pro Wrestling Magic. PWM presents Holiday Road to Kingdom Come at the Mecca in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, and streaming on IWTV on November 25th, featuring Cheeseburger, Darius Carter, Adina Steele, Ruthless Lala, Steve Pena, Kerr, Vinny Pacifico, Death Row, Hispanos Unidos, and a whole lot more. Get your tickets now. Guys, please welcome in our new sponsor for the month of November. Savage Kingdom presents an epic Swerve Strickland signing on December 29th in Flushing, New York. Come meet and greet one of AEW's top stars, podcast hosts, and musicians over at the Wrestling Universe. Pre-purchase link in comments for the tickets. And on a personal note, thank you, Greek Savage, for the support and always helping with our charitable endeavors. Guys, please welcome in our new sponsors for the podcast and the site, Crusaders Collectibles, wrestling games, live signings, and more, and Wrestling Collectors Federation on Facebook. Crusaders Collectibles is your destination for some of the best signings, live sales, games, and more. They are mostly wrestling, but you may see some other items at times. We are a family here and want everyone to be treated like family. You'll be able to find custom edits, photos, figures, cards, belts, pops, and more here. Many of those will even be autographed. Wrestling Collectors Federation on Facebook features amazing auctions, sales, pick events, and even mystery drawings for some truly unique items for any serious wrestling collector. Be sure to join the group and get in on the fun. On a personal note, I'd like to thank Emil for all his support of the BCP and our charitable endeavors. Guys, please welcome in our new sponsors for the month of September, Bubba, Kim, and Gabby, BKG. This family consistently shows their love and support for wrestlers on both the independent and national level, reminding us what this is really all about. Bubba's been a strong supporter of the BCP, primarily in our charity work, donating multiple items, time, and effort. Thank you, BKG.
Yo, listen, it's Platinum Max, part of the Acclaim, the Platinum Playboy, best wrestler alive, and you are rocking with the Bob Culture Podcast. Yo, listen, Platinum on the mic, and I'm coming for your ass. I'm listening to the Bob Culture Podcast, and I think it's the hottest show in the game, because them and everybody loves the Acclaim. Now, scissor me.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into a very special episode of the BCP. And I know I always say this, guys, but this one is long overdue, because every time I see this guy at Warriors of Wrestling, I'm like, we got to have you on the pod. We finally made it happen. It's going to be ahead of Intergender Warfare. It's going to be in Brooklyn, New York. Of course, Warriors of Wrestling, St. Finbar Catholic Church. It's going to be Bonesaw Brooks, this man, Tony Booth, TJ Marconi versus Scotty Priest, E-Rock, and Chris Benet. Guys, please welcome to the show a former No Limits champion, our good friend, Mr. Tony Booze. What's up, brother? How are you, man?
I'm okay, guys. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you guys bringing me on here. Always looks like a good time on here. I saw The Rise on here, and they had a pretty good time. They were telling me it was a fun time, so I figured I'd come and join in on the fun.
That's it, man. We appreciate you making the time. You know, the Rise, they got some tension going on right now. That's a story for another day. We'll leave that alone, man, because you have your own stuff going on. And I want to give you a compliment here, Tony, because let's be real. You had that No Limits Championship. We mentioned that in the introduction. Kind of a short-lived run, and I don't think it's any discredit to you or your skill set. I feel as though you were in a triple threat match. The likes, and great surprise for the crowd, great surprise for us. The legend, Tommy Dreamer, comes through that curtain, man. And, you know, now you're preparing for a triple threat. You're defending your title. You have a 25% chance. You know, I'm a stats guy over here. Tony, I mean, I'll ask you this first and foremost. When Dreamer comes through that curtain, what goes through your head right now? Because I know it's like, oh, it's Tommy Dreamer. Like, what an opportunity for me to work with him. But also, like, you have a bigger chance of losing your title now. And unfortunately, you did.
Once that music played and he walked through the curtain, it was a mix of this guy's a threat, but also this is really exciting, because if I could put away an ECW legend, WWE legend, and keep my title, I mean, what else do I have to prove then afterwards? I mean, you could put anybody in line. But Tommy Dreamer was a huge threat, and you know, unfortunately I took the loss that night. He won the belt. But yeah, it was this guy's gonna hurt me probably, but also like I'm getting hurt by Tommy Dreamer, so it ain't that bad.
Yeah.
You know?
I love it,
now,
man. Yes, please, Kimmy.
Oh, thank you. Now, going based off that, obviously, Tommy Dreamer, huge legend. We've seen him in multiple companies over the years. How cool is that to be able to work with somebody like that?
So when I first started in Warriors back way back then, I used to wear the baggy pants, like the shiny baggy pants. And at the time, Warriors had a shirt that was very similar to the ECW shirt. It was the WOFNW. So, I mean, I would wear that because I thought it looked comfortable, but also because he wore that and like he was a big influence. And it was really cool to have somebody that like I watched at my very first independent show back then. He was in the main event of my very first independent show that I went to. It was FWE. It was in Brooklyn. It was at St. Pat's. And it was him, Carlito, and Matt Hardy in a three-way ladder match for their title. And I remember meeting him, and I remember getting a kendo stick from him and talking to him about wrestling. So to be in the ring with him after being a huge fan of his, replicating him with the gear, it was just, I couldn't have asked for anything more. I mean, losing was like hard. It was hard to take that loss because I love that title, but losing to Tommy Dreamer made it so much more better and easier to deal with.
That's what you call a moral victory, man, for sure. And very full circle moment as well, man. And I don't want to harp on this too much, man, but it was a great match. You had a great run as the No Limits champion. And I know we're like Tommy Dreamer and, you know, you got to work with a big name and, you know, that full circle moment. But the thing that really gravitated me towards you, I've seen your in-ring work. I've seen your work ethic. I've seen you pop up at other promotions helping out. I love the grind, man. I respect the hustle. But after that loss, man, I didn't hear any complete, because we know wrestling, man. It's like, oh, I got screwed and I didn't know and I prepared. You took that, and I say it every time on commentary, you took that loss like a man, like no complaining. Just now you showed respect to Mr. Dreamer. Tell us a little bit about that philosophy. Is it just kind of that onwards and upwards?
I mean, yeah, pretty much. I'm not too focused on the losses. I'm focused about what's next. I mean, it's one of those things where it's going to happen. I mean, if I could win every match, I'd love to, but you know, people come up short sometimes. Sometimes, you know, interferences happen. Sometimes I'm not at my A game and, you know, I try not to show it. But ultimately, like, I know how to deal with loss. I lost. I'm not going to sit here and complain and act like a baby because now I have something to work towards again. Now I'm working back towards that No Limits title, because come December, we have the Lock and Key ladder match and I'm in that, and that's for the No Limits title. So I must be doing something right that I'm getting an opportunity. So we'll see what happens come December, but it's just losing happens. To sit here and cry about it makes me look bad, and just not worth it. Too much energy would be focused towards that.
Now, speaking of December, like you said, huge match. Now, it's a very interesting stipulation. There's ladders involved. There's locks and keys. What is your strategy going into that match? You're going in there with five other competitors. Your odds, just like that Fatal 4-Way, aren't the greatest.
I don't want to air out my strategies because I'm sure that these five other competitors are going to be listening to this and wanting to get any sort of information based on this. So I'll keep all that hush hush, but just know as soon as I can take a ladder and have it in my hands, all bets are off and everybody's getting hit with something. So that's part of the game plan, is just start swinging with a ladder and hope for the best.
Joke's on them. No one watches this show except my mom. That being said, Tony, I got to ask you this one, man. Shameless promo for the match coming up. Guys, I believe it's this Friday in Brooklyn. I got to find the good pizza spots. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Are you a Brooklyn guy? Long Island? Where are you?
I'm Brooklyn. Brooklyn,
you are a Brooklyn guy.
Yeah.
Sorry, a lot of wrestling. What's the pizza spot?
Oh, well, my.
Yeah.
That's one of the places that a lot of people talk about, Spumoni Gardens. But I also really like it's on 18th Avenue. They're called Da Vinci's. Personally, which, well, me and my family think they make the best squares. So, okay. If you can head over to Da Vinci's, if it's still early enough, definitely go over there because I really enjoy their pizza. But you really can't go wrong with getting a slice in Brooklyn anywhere. I mean, it's New York. You're bound to run into a good pizza spot. But Da Vinci's and L&B, I'd say, are top tier. And D'Amore, Pizza D'Amore.
I hear DeFars a lot. That's the one I get a lot in Brooklyn. Yeah. I haven't had that, but I'll definitely put them on the list for sure, man. But shameless promo, you with Bonesaw Brooks, you know those suplexes, devastating. TJ Marconi, man, like I always say, Warriors, you don't know what TJ Marconi you're going to get. You don't know what mood he's going to be in. And then taking on Scotty Priest, Kimmy's personal favorite, E-Rock and Chris Benet. You know, these tag team matches, this is a great event. I'm very excited for Intergender Warfare. But kind of just you with Marconi and Bonesaw Brooks. Like I said, you don't know what Marconi you're going to get, man. Your thoughts, this is the backstage interviewer in me, but your thoughts going into this one and teaming with these colleagues of yours?
I'm nothing but confident walking in there on Friday. I mean, I have a 7-foot giant and a suplex machine. And I mean, you got me in there also. So we're all bringing something to the table. And we're all going to make sure that we're leaving Brooklyn the winners. Because, I mean, you look at Chris Benet, you look at E-Rock, you look at Scotty Priest, and then you look at my team. I mean, come on, odds are in my favor, of course, you know. So I'm not stressing anything.
Awesome. Very, very cool, man. I think it's going to be a great match, guys. Of course, get your tickets now. Shameless promo. Tickets are available online. I believe it's warriorsofwrestling.com. Shameless promo. We talked about the No Limits Championship. Let's talk about this one, Tony. Had a lot of people on the show lately, and we just interviewed the All-Father himself. Man, he's the guy, man. I'm not trying to fantasy book here, but he's the guy. I think the last three people I've had on the show wanted to get in the ring, square off with Darius. I don't know if you have in the past. I don't know. I know you're no stranger to Warriors, but is that another target? Like, I know your eyes on the No Limits Championship, and I know you wrestlers, you know, you stay in your lane. I get that, but is it somewhere in the back of your mind? Is it like, I want that match with the All-Father, not just because of the title, which is a big part of it, but he is one person, him with Crowbar, Danny Moff, Lala, just off the top of my head, a few other names I can't think of right now, but like elevates every single talent that steps into the squared circle with him. Is that in the back of your mind at all?
I mean, I make sure that I watch every main event that he's in, and I make sure that I keep my eyes open for any opportunity that I can get against him because of those reasons that you mentioned. I mean, if we're going to peel back the curtain a bit, Carter is a wealth of knowledge, and Carter knows what he's doing. Carter deserves a lot more than what he's given, and that's my personal opinion. And that goes with everywhere that he steps foot into. But Darius Carter is somebody that brings the best out of me when I'm with him because he's probably the greatest villain that Warriors has. Or the greatest villain in the tri-state area, wherever he goes. So I always keep my eye on him. I always make sure that if I can find a way to get that Warriors Wrestling World Heavyweight Championship around my waist someday. So yeah, it's always in the back of my mind. You know, I try not to harp on it because then it's like, you know, if I'm too focused on that, what could happen with the No Limits? I mean, what could happen maybe eventually if I get put in a tag team? Like, there's other things that I'm trying to like get. But him, his title, definitely on my radar. And whenever he wants, I'm ready to square up whenever he's ready. So
going back to the 16th anniversary show, and speaking of Darius Carter, we know that the main event, because Roger Mendez won that Ultimate Survivor match, it's going to be Roger Mendez versus Darius Carter. Who do you think walks out of that match? Do you think Darius Carter, he has it, he's going to prove that he's the most dominant Warriors champion? Do you think Roger's going to shock the world and prove that this is really the year of Roger Mendez?
Ooh, that's tough. Roger is consistently on the grind. Roger is always training. Roger is always at the gym. Roger is always watching also. So I feel like Darius is sleeping on Roger a little bit, and I feel like he's not sweating it, and I think that's why it could be Roger's time, because I feel like Carter consistently underestimates Roger, but doesn't realize that Roger was the youngest world heavyweight champion that Warriors had. So I mean, he's the old father, but that's the big bad Roger Dodger. So I'm gonna put my chips on Roger. I gotta put my chips on Roger in this one. I think Darius is sleeping on him a little bit.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And I'm excited for that match. And I hope to see you in the ring competing for that Warriors of Wrestling heavyweight, world heavyweight championship very, very soon. We talk about Darius Carter, we talk about championships. I always feel like we get a lot of the same answers, which is very telling with Darius. A lot of people are like, hey, I don't watch a lot of matches, but I always go out and watch his. There's a, I even said with him, it's like that hateful respect, like they say, and get him to the Greek, that hateful respect. It's like he's so good in the ring and he's super uber heel, one of the best heels, like you said, in the business, man. And just his counters, even taking on the Rise in that triple threat, like just the counters he had, it was brilliant. He's brilliant. That being said, though, we talked about that match, but we also talked about Tommy Dreamer coming through. This is the fantasy booking part of the show, man, because let's be real, intergender warfare. We have Taya Valkyrie coming through, Giselle's coming through. I think Sonny Kiss coming on the next show. I saw a real one coming through as well. Warriors, we get some of the names coming through. Tommy took away your title, man. That being said, who from that AEW locker room? Who from those Hall of Famers, because they're still coming through, like the likes of Tommy Dreamer, like we said, who do you want to square up with? Because that possibility is very much there.
So, Tommy is somebody that I would love to get back in the ring with. Rhino is another one that I would love to get in the ring
Ooh.
with. Sammy Callahan is another one that I would really like to go up against at some point. I believe Chris Hero still wrestles. If Chris Hero still wrestles, he was somebody that I always wanted to go up against. If we're talking like real fantasy booking and
Jeez,
like
yeah, go for it.
Guys like Samoa Joe, he's somebody that would be really dope to go up against. Enzo Amore, real one, would be cool. I mean, he was at a Warrior show a while ago. I remember him being super cool. Danny Moff is another one that I would like
Ooh.
to go up against.
Careful what you wish for, brother.
I'm ready for everybody.
My
Everybody
guy.
can get the smoke.
I
But
respect it. I respect it.
those are some of the few names that popped into my head right away, talking about like fantasy booking and stuff like that. So people like that in that caliber. Excuse me.
Awesome, bro. And not to be cliche here, man, but a lot of the names you're listing, you strike me. Were you an ECW guy? I'm kind of getting that vibe.
So I was a wrestling fan very late into wrestling. Like I started watching in like 2011, 2012. So I was in the heart of the PG era when I started watching.
Okay.
But I made sure to like watch like older stuff. Really when it came to ECW, I would like really watching people's promos, like a Mick Foley and Tommy Dreamer, Raven. I liked watching their promos and getting ideas from them in terms of that. But I mean, as soon as I watched my first Monday Night Raw the next day, I was looking up any and everybody and learning and learning and learning. So I wasn't watching ECW when it was around, but I was trying to watch things, whatever I could find on YouTube or the network at the time. So, but yeah.
Besides Tommy, who'd you gravitate towards? Like, who were the ones? Like, for me, like I was not a fan of wrestling, believe it or not, for such a long time. Now I'm dating a wrestler, and before she dumps me, that's a story for another day. It's not a work, people. I gravitated towards Rey Mysterio, because I didn't think that's what wrestling was. I thought it was just like the body slam stuff, and this guy's jumping off the ropes. I'm like, wow, this is crazy, and it really gravitated towards it. Who did you connect with besides Dreamer?
Cena, John Cena was a big one that right away I was already invested in and like his character and what he stood for. Guys like John Moxley, Dean Ambrose, Samoa Joe, Kevin Owens. As soon as Kevin Owens stepped onto the scene, I was already a fan. Jericho. Randy Orton, of course. But Kevin Owens was probably like a really big one for a while for me. I really gravitated towards him because, like you were saying, like, oh, it's usually these juiced up guys, body slamming, flinging. And a guy like Kevin Owens, who's a little bit on the heavier side, I kind of connected with. And I was like, you know what? Like, he makes it seem possible. So you know what? I respect it. And like, I want to do what he's doing. So he was probably one of the biggest ones that I gravitated towards was him. So.
Would you say that because you look towards that like riskier side of wrestling, you kind of bring that into your style, like guys like Tommy Dreamer, Rhino, and that ECW stuff?
Oh, 100%, 110%. I mean, it's hard to create an original thing in wrestling because everybody does everything. But if I'm looking to add things to my repertoire, look to add little mannerisms or add little, names here and there, I always look to those types of guys. Guys like the Kevin Owens, Samoa Joes, Chris Heroes, Sami Callihan, stuff like that. So yeah, 100% big influence on how I am in the ring.
I'll ask you this one, man. I know it's always on the podcast, always like wrestling, 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 man. Tell us a little something about Tony Booth, not wrestling, man. Are you a musician? Do you collect things? Did you play sports, man? Tell us a little bit about the stuff outside the ring.
So, I currently work as I work with children
Really?
outside of beating people up. Yeah. So, I work with kids. So,
Love
I
that.
work in an elementary school and I do an after school program. So, just Monday through Friday dealing with kids.
That's amazing, man. I work with kids as well, man. So thank you for doing that. I appreciate that.
Man, stress. It's stressful.
Yeah, it's a
But
yeah.
somebody has to do it. And I'm glad somebody like me and you was doing it then.
Yeah.
But other than that, when I was in high school, even elementary school, I really enjoyed performing in plays and like acting and
Really?
stuff like that. Yeah, I was in third grade. I did Peter Pan. I did the Nutcracker. I did Christmas Carol. I did. I don't know if you ever seen. It was like a. It was a viral YouTube thing for a little bit. It was the Evolution of Dance.
I've heard of it.
So.
That sounds familiar. Okay.
I did that where it was like this big thing that we did in elementary school. So yeah, I always enjoyed acting. I played a little bit of baseball, but that definitely wasn't my calling because I was horrendous.
Same, same.
And then I found wrestling, and that's kind of where it took off. I mean, I always liked physical contact sports. If I wasn't doing wrestling, I would like to have been doing football or boxing. But I found the perfect mix of physical and acting. And I went with it, rolled with it. But yeah, so that's a little bit outside of wrestling, like where the influence came from.
Love it. And let's talk about the acting a little bit, man, because that really intrigued me right there. Tell us how the I have a lot of acting questions. Real quick though, tell us how the acting kind of translates into the wrestling. You said you were acting when you were younger. A lot of times, and this isn't a knock, but a lot of times, Friday night at the arena, in the cage. Like, how do you translate to wrestler acting from professional acting? I'm critical of a lot of actors. I'm not the biggest DiCaprio fan. Catch me if you can. Great movie. I feel he is more of a stage actor. The way he acts in certain things, I don't believe him. He's very talented. I feel he's more of a stage actor sometimes. How do you kind of translate being an actor, in plays and musicals and such, and then taking that to the promos and the outside the ring stuff for wrestling?
So like I wasn't like act I was like doing school plays and stuff like that.
Yeah. I gotcha.
It wasn't like I was like going to an acting place and like performing. It was very much so on a very low scale, but one thing that it really helped me out with was like being comfortable in front of people, because we did in front of me we were in front of people. We did act in front of our school and like family and friends. So it definitely helped out in terms of like easing that tension of like having eyes on me when I needed eyes on me. If I was like saying a line or it was like a solo part where I was just talking and it was just me. So it helped out in that way. But in the same breath, I like having attention on me when I'm performing. So I was always a ham in terms of stuff like that. Other than that, really, they weren't like drilling like you have to act like this if you're not gonna. It was more or less like, yeah, like we're putting on a performance and like we're all gonna help each other. I wish I could compare it more to wrestling, but I think for me, it was just finding the enjoyment of being in front of an audience and like enjoying the attention and enjoying everybody watching and having a good time. That translated over to wrestling for me. I enjoy being out there, entertaining people, influencing people if they're getting influenced by me. So stuff like that.
I
Did
get
you
that.
have a favorite part you played?
So I didn't have many lines, but it was my favorite one because it was my first one. We did a Peter Pan play, and I was one of the lost boys. I was the skunk lost boy, and
Rufio. Sorry.
so that's probably my favorite one. It was my first one. It was funny. I had to dress like a skunk, so it was pretty funny. I enjoyed it.
That's epic. Very, very cool. And I get what you're saying real quick, man. I'm like, when I've been playing in bands and stuff since I was 16, so I'm Mr. Drummer. Like, I'll do the solos, I'll do all the tricks and stuff. Like, that's when I'm like real showy and all that stuff, man. But like, when it translates to wrestling and stuff, I'm very like, oh no, I don't need to be on camera. Like, let me, be on the microphone, off camera, content creation. I'm happy, doing the journalist thing, man. It's two different worlds. So I kind of get what you're saying, man. Give me a pair of drumsticks, I'll, go crazy, but it's different. I get what you're saying, man, comparing the two. Kimmy, I don't want to steal your question because we kind of talked about it off air, but in terms of rebranding and stuff like that, Kimmy, you want to throw this one out?
Why did you change your
She just
name, my
gets to.
dude?
So I went back to my old name because I felt like it was just time for a change, and I felt like going back to what I started with would be good for me in terms of like bringing it back to the beginning and like coming full circle maybe now with this name and getting opportunities with the name that I had started with. It was just one of those things where I was kind of getting sick of hearing my regular name because everybody would mess it up. It would either be Anthony Page, they would say in the ring, or they would say Tony Page, and I would get lucky that night.
Guilty.
Yeah, it's okay. Hey, it happens. It's fine by me. It is my name, so. But the name Tony Booze has a significance towards me because it was a name that was given to me by a friend of mine. And this was way, but I wasn't 21 when I got this name. So alcohol had nothing to do with the name. It was just a name that a friend came up with for me, because we were fans. We were fans of wrestling, and we knew we couldn't wrestle, so we would cut promos and we would like do talking segments. And I had no creative bone in my body. And he was like, "Well, how about this name?" And he said Tony Booze, and I was like, "Sure, like why not?" And I kind of rolled with it, and it stuck with me. And then fast forward, I started wrestling, and I came in with the mentality of like, they're gonna change my name. Like, they're not gonna let me pick my own name. Like, they're gonna give me a character. They're gonna do this with me, and like, I'm gonna have to do this. And at first, one of the trainers there at the time, we were talking about it, and he writes me. I'm almost certain it was like 12:01 in the morning. And he goes, "Your name is going to be Gino the Plug Pepino." That was going to be my ring name. And when he brought this up to Joe, and at the time the other trainer, they looked at him like he had seven heads. And they were like, "Well, what do you want your name to be?" And I mentioned Tony Booze, and they're like, "Yeah, we're going to roll with that." So Tony Booze got me out of being Gino Pepino. So I owed a lot of props, a lot of respect to that name now. But yeah.
I get it,
Yeah.
man. And it's almost like the TNA situation, because you said that was your name. So you're rebranding, which I'm
Yeah.
okay with, man. I am very, says the guy whose girlfriend just became a demon. That's a story for another day. I'm always very critical of rebranding and stuff like that. It's like, oh, you have so many followers built over this name. Like, why are you going to change it and start at zero? Or, people are going to lose track of you and stuff like that. But you've already developed a brand as Tony Booze. So that makes sense to me. It's very full circle, man. And with the past, what, year and a half or time I've been with Warriors, I saw you come back in. To my understanding, you were part of Warriors in the past. You had a relationship with Bellini. There's a lot of wrestling. Correct me if I'm wrong. He brought you back. I don't know what's going on with Joe right now. This Bellini Club stuff, I think it's a jab at other people. We have to call him Mr. Bellini now. I'm probably gonna get fired for this, but I don't like the way he's treating y'all. I don't like this hostile takeover collective, whatever is going on here.
He called me a Muppet. Can we talk about that?
Called Kimmy a Muppet. No respect. I mean, real quick, before we talk about Bellini, man, just tell us a little bit about your backstory with Warriors for those who don't know.
So I started wrestling at 16 years old.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
Started in 2016, I started, and I was 16, funny enough. And I was there for a long while. And me and Joe always had a good relationship. We were always, we had a good bond with one another. And you fast forward a little bit, I was there for a while, and then I ended up breaking my ankle at some point.
Ooh.
So I broke my ankle, so there was time off there because of the injury. Went back to Warriors, and in the time that I was injured to the time I came back, it was about a year. And I had felt like the environment of Warriors had changed. And I went up to Joe and I explained my like grievances, I guess you can call them. And we had a conversation, you know, wasn't like we were going at each other's throats. I told him how I felt. And I said, listen, I was like, I'm more than willing to stay and, you know, do the shows and, you know, work around and, you know, be here. But I'm not going to train here. I don't want to train here. I want to try to go somewhere else. And I made that decision. I did the Warrior shows. I wasn't training at the training center at the time. And then COVID had hit. So once COVID had hit, it was another year and a half of not doing anything. And I found myself at another wrestling school with one of my former trainers that used to be at Warriors. And I don't want to harp on it too much about the other place because it's, you know, I'm not here to talk trash about anybody. You know, that's a conversation I'll have with you guys off camera.
For sure.
But the environment at this new place wasn't fitting me either. And it came a point where my grandmother had passed away. And I wasn't under Joe. I wasn't Joe's student. The trainer at the new place that I went to never hit me up at all. But Joey B had the decency to write me and check in. And then Joe wrote me and goes, hey, do you want to do the anniversary show, the last year anniversary show? And I was like, you know what? I was like, yeah. I said, I'll be more than happy to come back. And it was the best decision I ever made.
Wow.
Very glad to be back and like be back in the training center, create new bonds with people, you know, fix relationships that I had that were kind of bumpy. And yeah. So that's my story with Warriors. That's how it worked out for me.
I'm getting emotional over here, man. No, that's great. And I wasn't trying to pry. Like, I didn't know it was that deep, man. I was just I like to take some time off. Like, that's deep, bro. And that's what it's all about, man. Like, it really is. You know, sometimes you have to have the conversation, man. Or at the end of the day, you see who is there for you. Like I always say, real life first. You know, in this crazy circus, especially man, real life first. And even with like one of my favorite bands, Blink-182, they got back together. And a lot of the theme of the new album is, why does it take a plane crash? Why does it take a sickness for us to get back together and stuff like that, man? And I think we all learn life is short, man. You know, tomorrow's not promised, man. And that's cool that Bellini did that. My next question was going to be to completely bury Joe Bellini, but now I don't want to do that. What do you think of Bellini's new attitude in terms of not the human side? I mean, because I don't know what's going on with him now, but he's corrupt. It's collusion. It's collusion. I didn't want to use the word. It's collusion. I don't know what's going on here with Carter, with Zeta. You know, I don't know if he's going to kick me off the commentary desk for saying this, but I'm a journalist, man. I'm going to call right down the middle.
Joe's new attitude within this this crazy world of professional wrestling is totally jaded at the moment. He's aligning himself with people that he shouldn't be aligning himself with. I mean, as much as I respect Carter, Carter's a snake. And Carter's in his ear for all the benefits that Carter can gain from it. Zeta's in his ear for all the benefits that she can get out of it. You know, it's not a good look for him. It's not a good mix. I mean, I'm happy that we kind of can balance it out with having Jason Karloff as our commissioner there. So Joe's not completely running the show, but it's disappointing to see somebody that I had a lot of respect for completely 180 and turn into this, you know, malicious person. It really bothers me because that's the guy that trained me, and here you are, you're acting like this. Like, What does that say? Like, that's a representation. That's my trainer. So if people think he's a jerk, people are gonna think I'm a jerk, and I don't like that. That ruins my name. So it's very bothersome. I don't like it. I don't like who he's aligning himself with. I don't like Max Bane. I don't like Carter. I don't like Zeta. You know, it's not a good mix. It's not a good look for Joe. And he'll learn. He'll see. As soon as Carter's not benefiting from him, that's it. He's gone. And then Joe will come crawling back to everybody. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And we'll see what happens then.
Well, I was gonna ask, who do you think is gonna be the one to kind of get Joe to change his attitude? Do you think it's gonna be Carter turning on him?
I mean, I absolutely. Carter looks out for Carter. He doesn't care about anybody else. He talks with Joe. He aligns himself with Abdul. He aligns himself with Zeta because he benefits from it. He gains something out of it. That's how he can keep his title, because these people get involved. Joe runs Warriors. He's half of the booking there. He's half of running it. He's the guy there. Why wouldn't you want to buddy yourself up with him? Oh, Kim, you have $1 million? I'm your best friend now. Oh, you'll get me that Rolls Royce? Why not? Of course I'm going to benefit myself with you. I'll align myself with you. It just, that's what Carter does. He looks for the top person. He gets involved with them. He takes and takes and takes. And when Joe tells him he has nothing for him, one EQ is a kick away. That's it. Carter turns on Joe 100% down the line.
Wow. You heard it
Yeah.
here first, people. I think that's a fair assessment. I was going to say Kimmy was just going to reason with Joe and
Yeah.
get him. No,
Good luck. He
not going to happen.
Good called
luck.
me a Muppet. Do you know he called me right before this interview, actually, and he wanted information from me?
What?
I mean, I'd like to say I appreciate him doing his research on his product, but he's probably just trying to, see any corners he can cut or anything you figure out to benefit him and the, hostile collect. It's a whole nother thing. I don't want to go down that road. Tony, let's talk about you, man, and we could talk about Bellini for days. But that being said, man, real quick, and last one for me. The short-term goals for Tony Booze, is it, there's a lot of these lists coming out right now. The PWIs, there was the opportunities on AEW Dark. We talked about the names you want to work. What are the short-term goals? And then the long-term goals, is it the contract? Because we've heard all the answers, the contracts, and you could be very politically correct. People want to open a school, people just want to travel. I know a lot of people want to go to Japan. What are the short-term and long-term goals for Tony Booze?
Short term is to be able to have my home promotions world heavyweight title down the line. That's a short term goal for me. Another short term goal is to make a little bit more of a name for myself on the independent and connect more in what's the word that I'm looking for?
Network.
To network more with people and get into people's good graces and hope for the best with that. Long term would probably be to, of course, get on television in any capacity, whether it be an AEW or WWE, TNA, NWA, because they're coming out with, I know, a TV show now. MLW is another one that I would love to be on. Anywhere that I know will better me, I want to go to. So, and of course, TV contract. And to have an influence over like somebody, and like that's a long-term goal for me to like have somebody come up to me and be like, I wrestle because of you, type of thing. But yeah, getting on TV, traveling all over the world, getting booked at a promotion not in the country would be ideal. So stuff like that.
So last one for me. Obviously, we're at the end of the year. So what to you is your top wrestling moment of the year that you personally had achieved?
Probably the very top of the list for me was winning the No Limits title. I was very, very happy to have that. And I was very happy to be trusted with it and, elevate the title. And wrestling Tommy Dreamer is another one that was I would have never imagined. And just being back in wrestling. Because as much as we were talking bad about Joe before, if it wasn't for Joe writing me at the right time, I don't think Tony Booze would be anymore. I think I would have never wrestled again after my grandmother passed away. So very grateful in that aspect in the real life, Joey B. But yeah, just very grateful to be back wrestling, very grateful to be back at Warriors. Grateful for the locker room accepting me back right away. Winning the No Limit Championship and wrestling Tommy Dreamer. Those are the career highs at the moment for this year.
That's awesome. And just the beginning, bro, man, you're killing it. You know, we'll definitely talk off air a little bit, man. We want to see you some other places around here in Jersey, PA, all that good stuff, man. And let's tell promoters right now, because we're all about that shameless promo. You know, Kimmy, here on the BCB, tell everyone where they can buy the merch, book you, reach out to you. Tell the promoters how they can reach out to you.
You could add me on Facebook at Anthony Page. I'm very responsive there. You could follow me on Instagram, TonyBlues_42. My email is on my Instagram page. My phone number is on my Instagram page, I believe. Don't want to give that all the way to the air because I don't want somebody from
calling
me. But yeah, so TonyBlues_42 is probably the best place to catch me and write me, or Facebook, my name, Anthony Page. Also, because I'm going to plug it, follow Warriors of Wrestling on Instagram. Follow them on YouTube at WOW TV Live, Twitter Warriors of Wrestling, Facebook Warriors of Wrestling. Follow all of them. Follow all that good stuff. You know, I'm just happy to be here and grateful for being here with you guys. Thank you for doing this for me. I appreciate it. Oh, you can also that was another thing.
Please.
I started wrestling out in Massachusetts for this really cool company called Pioneer Valley Pro Wrestling. So, check them out. Pioneer Valley Pro Wrestling. It's in Massachusetts. So check them out. They're pretty cool. Great show. I was just there Saturday. About 400 people in the crowd. So that was awesome to be in front of them. So it was really cool.
Yo, Massachusetts is the place to be for wrestling as well. That's awesome, man. I'll definitely check that out. Tony, dude, so good just getting to chat with you a little bit outside of work. Getting to know you a little bit better in your story, man. We'll see you Saturday. Continued success. Move forward. Thank you for the time, my man.
Friday.
Friday. Thank you. Yeah, I'll be there Saturday and no one will be there Friday. This is why you're here. Thanks for the time, man. And guys, like we always say here on the BCP, everyone stay safe, stay positive. We'll see you Friday. Take care of each other. We out. Peace.